God, we just thank you for new life, for eternal life. We thank you that we can never die once we call upon your name and through faith believe that you are our salvation, that you are our rescuer from our own sins, and that we become born again when we believe in you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the best of you. Lord, I pray that you would use these scriptures to encourage and to build up your people, Lord. Lord, speak through me, Lord, with your words, not my own. Lord, in your name, amen. Hi, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can catch me on iTunes at Audioboo, Michael Ryan's Audioboos, or you can also get me at letsworshipjesus.com. I want to jump right in. We got 20 minutes, and we're going to go through a big chunk of passage and make some points here. Now, we're going to be in John chapter 13. Let's just go right in. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones who I have chosen, but it is that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you that before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. That's a lot of scripture there. It's about 20 verses or so, and we have less than 20 minutes. But I just would like to share some points with you that I pray God would speak to you with. And you know, it opens up with Jesus right before the Feast of the Passover, and it's just amazing how still the miracle that God did for the Israelites over 1,000 years ago is still being celebrated by taking them out of Egypt, and the Feast of the Passover about to be celebrated, and Jesus is going to be going up to the cross soon, and he senses that his hour has come. It says that he knew that he was about to leave the world and go to the Father, and it's amazing, one, the eternal perspective that Jesus had on his coming affliction. It says in Hebrews that he, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it's a great lesson for us here. You know, Jesus, he didn't say, I knew what was going to happen to me right off, I knew what was going to happen to me, just about to get hit in my face, about to be skinned, about to be, have my beard ripped out of my face. I'm sure he might have been thinking those things, but something we can really learn from our Messiah is that he had an eternal perspective. I'm going back to God. I'm going back to God. And it's really reframes things in our world, reframes circumstances when we can see eternal perspective on them. What is God doing? And what kind of promises can we hold on to from God to help us get through or encourage others and tribulations? The second thing you see here is he's sitting there, and it says that Satan already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. And it's, you know, when it says in Ephesians 6 that we live in a spiritual warfare, and just don't ever take that for granted. Even in the presence of Christ, Satan can still be among us. Spiritual warfare is real. It is real. It is real. And it's important that you know about it. In the movies, you know, they try to make it seem like a demon or a vampire. As soon as you pull out the cross, they run away. And that's just not how it is. It's not how it is. Demons, Satan, they wear crosses. They quote scriptures. They walk among believers. The people who are filled with the Spirit. And it's out there. And if he sought to destroy Jesus Christ, how much more does the enemy want to destroy you with Christ living in you? So be on guard. Take his word seriously. Just be trusting in the Lord and praying and be vigilant, because there is warfare among us, just as there was with those disciples. Third thing, it's amazing to note. So it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. So Jesus, knowing everything, you know, everything's wrapping up. He possesses all the power. He has the Father on his side, and angels on his side, everything. What does he choose to do? To serve. To get down and wash the dirt and grime off his servant's feet. It's, you know, when you put it that way, when you frame it as he's seeing the end perspective, he's seeing the bigger eternal picture. I'm going back to God. I know who I am. I know who I've come from. And it's as though that in of itself led him to go and serve and to love and to do this very thing he's been trying to get across to people since he's been beginning his ministry of love and the importance of love and who God really is. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the full revelation of God. And it's so fitting that it's love. It's love for everybody. You know, up until Jesus Christ, up until the gospel was beginning to be preached, Israelites thought that God was just for them. It was just for Israelites. And that if anyone wanted to believe in God, they had to change their whole standard and their whole custom and come and do a Jewish custom. But Judaism was the entrance to relationship with God. But we realize the full revelation of God is love, and that he is coming to every man and woman from all different places around the world. And just to see this picture of love, him getting on his knees, rolling up his sleeves, and just washing. It's just a picture of what he continually does for you at this very moment. And every time you open up the scriptures, every time you pray and you worship and you obey him, he washes you. You know, he washes you. It's important to understand, you know, he talks to disciples and says, listen, if you don't allow me to wash you, you have no part of me. And a lot of people have different views on that. And I'll say that I think that, number one, he said to them that you're already clean. He said to them that some of you or all of you are clean except one, the one who's going to betray me. So they already were clean. In John 15:3, he says, you have already been cleaned by the word I spoke to you. So we know that they were cleaned, but I think that this is a different type of cleaning. You know, just as though you and I have already been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've already been saved, but still it is a daily kind of cleansing that needs to happen. You know, we know that we were washed eternally. Titus 3:5 says he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul's talking to these Corinthians who were just doing wicked things, and he says, look, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 5:26, when he's telling husbands to treat their wives like the way Christ treats the church, he's describing Jesus Christ, and he's saying that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So we have been washed eternally, but there's this other type of washing that I think that Jesus, in my opinion, may have been speaking about to them, of that the daily washing, the daily being cleaned up. You know, where, you know, when you can take a shower and be cleaned up and on your way over to get something to eat, in those times you can get your feet dirty through your sandals. And it's interesting that though we are washed by the Holy Spirit, you and I, we can be washed, we can be cleansed, we can be saved, but we get dirty, our minds get dirty. We wake up in the morning and we start from zero again with our consciousness towards God and just our faith being low, and we're just filled, you know. Then we have the run of things that happen during a day that we have to take care of, the bills, the stress, the disappointments, the friction in relationships, the illnesses that happen to us, the bad news that we hear, or the stress or our own issues. They tend to dirty us. They tend to dirty us, and we need to be washed with Him. We need to be washed by Him. And this best way to do it is through the Word. It says in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The Word is your nutrition. It cleanses you inside, externally, internally. 1 Timothy 4:6, it says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Even Jesus says in Matthew 4 to Satan, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. It's so important that you spend time reading the scriptures, worshiping God, praying to God, making a habit of being washed by Him. Because if you don't, the problem is, you let the world contaminate you, the flesh contaminate you, and as I mentioned before, there's spiritual warfare, and we'll be constantly beat up by the things that go on the outside of us. So I encourage you to be washed. It says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies to God, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Your mind needs to be transformed, and that comes from being washed by the Word, being in His presence, worship, prayer. And the question is, have you done that today? Have you had that washing? And it's something that is perpetual, continue throughout your day. Throughout your day. And Peter says, you know, oh Lord, don't wash me. And then when Jesus explains to him the significance of being washed, the fellowship that comes from being washed, he says, don't wash my feet, wash every part of me. And that is a type of really how our response ought to be. Lord, wash me completely, every part of my life. Every detail of my life, my career, my job, the things I do in secret, the things that I that maybe no one knows about, and every area of my life, wash me, inspect me. It says in Hebrews that the Word is, it's like a double-edged sword, it's a sword, and it just, boom, just pierces right through the heart, and it searches us, it searches all the nasty parts. We want to be washed completely, thoroughly, but it's the Word of God that does that. And honestly, we don't have part of Him. You know, yes, positionally, if you've called upon the Lord in sincerity, been saved, you are positionally right with God. But fellowship, friends, fellowship, you know, it's that relationship with God. That's what we strive for. That's what gets us through the day. That's what gets us through this life. It doesn't do anyone any good to say, oh, okay, when I die, I'm going to heaven. But what about right now? What about right now? Do you want to have a part with Jesus right now? Do you want to have something special with Him right now? Well, then that will come from being washed. That will come from being washed. Otherwise, you won't have a part with Him. You'll be seeing other believers having a joy that seems like out of your reach, having a brightness to their life, having something special that just seems supernatural, and you won't know why, but it's because they're being washed. And finally, Jesus explained to them, look, He said, listen, you know what I just did to you? I'm your teacher, I'm your master, and I am. You call me that, but you're not. But no servant is greater than their master. And if you see me do something so humbling like that, you ought to do the same thing. And they didn't quite understand it then, but they did later. They began to get the message that, wait, God bowed down to man to clean his feet. Wow. You know, that picture for them of, wow, wait a minute. God washed our feet. God. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus, though being in the form of God, did not see it something to be grasped. Meaning, it wasn't something for him to stand on. It wasn't something for him to claim. Like, oh, you're not going to treat me that way, or I'm not going to do that because I'm God. Why should I do that? Let my servant do that. That's not his attitude. He personally came and got his hands dirty. The foot washing was just an expression of that, but he personally came and got his hands dirty for you. He experienced what it was like to be betrayed by someone you love. He experienced what it was like to be taken advantage of, to be misunderstood, to see people who that he loved go through suffering. I mean, he really put himself down on our level. And I would say even beneath how most human beings live. I mean, we live in a day now where we wouldn't even do a half of the things that Jesus Christ did, but he was so humble. And it really comes to the point of saying the gospel isn't, it's a life to be lived. It's not just an ideal to be contemplated. It isn't just, oh, the gospel, oh, we're saved by grace. Okay, cool. The gospel is a way of life. It's an experience of living completely. And so if I could just say, and I could end and say, love one another. I think if that would be the message that God would have you know, and for me to know, it's to love one another. Love, love, love. And when you fail to love, repent. Love those who hurt you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who take advantage of you or who took advantage of you. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 15:17 says, this is my command, that you love one another. Love, love, love. And that's the message of it. It's to bathe in the word of Christ, stay close to him, and then love. Love. Wash up, then go in love. Then wash up some more. Wash up, and then go love. I mean, just simple, just real simple. Just get washed by the word and then go out and love. And we'll fail in it. I failed in it. You know, I have so much learning and growth to do in that area. But I'm just coming as a minister and saying, look, you know what? Just handling God's word, it's evident here that we should be washed in it, that we should live by his word, and then go out and love. And love, and not just one big act of love, not just one big, you know, oh, I gave a whole lot of money to this charity. You know, it's a continual, perpetual kind of love. And I'm going to finish up with 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, that love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, love does not brag, it's not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And friends, just as he says in John 13 here, he says, you will be blessed if you do these things. When talking about washing people's feet and carrying that example out, he says, you will be blessed if you do those things. So, I just encourage you to just to get washed today, to just sit in front of the word, or take time to pray to him and speak to him and listen to him, or thank him for saving you and living inside of you and taking you to heaven when you die. And if you don't know him, you can pray and know him. You can ask him to forgive every single sin that you've done and will do, and to be born again. To be born again, to have a new life, a life that's worth something because it's in God, it's in Christ, in his power. So we'll just close, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your word, and we thank you for you, and just ask that you would just bless us with a stronger faith, that our faith would be just fierce, and that we would walk blamelessly before you by your power and by your spirit, Lord. In your name we ask these things. Amen. Mm-hmm.